Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Joshua and stand with me if you're able to. I want to encourage you tonight with something that encouraged me, something that was said to me in scripture that came back to me by our people and that have helped me, and hopefully this encourages and challenges you. Joshua chapter number 1, we'll look at verses 1 through 9. Moses in Deuteronomy has just passed. That's always hard when anyone passes, but that was the leader. Joshua was his right-hand man. And change happens, and sometimes change isn't easy at all. But as change comes about, of course, God knows everything. And God's getting ready to challenge Joshua. And Joshua has a choice to make as to what he needs to do or what he should do, how he should respond. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for this evening. We can gather here as your people here at Northwest Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to have your word saved and preserved for us, that we may read it, we may understand it, we may glean from it. Lord, help us, Lord God, to get from you tonight. Help me to say that which you would have, and pray for that which you would not. Thank you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when my family returned back to America, and this was my wife's first time coming to America in 2022. We returned at a time that was unknown, was not the best of times, honestly. And, you know, we came back because my mother went home to be with the Lord. And we were 8,000 miles away, and this came about. And we were wondering, Lord, how are we going to get back together? I'm a citizen. My daughter Emily was a citizen, born in Cambodia, but passed on automatically because of me. My wife was running paperwork at the time. Things just take longer when you go the legal route, sadly. It's what it is. And we were just praying for God to do a miracle, God to part the Red Sea. And God did. And after a few failed attempts of interviews and them denying her a visa, on the third try, God opened up a door. And we were back in about a week and a half before the funeral was scheduled to take place. And we were here, and we took care of the task at hand, and we weren't sure as to what our next step were. We thought we'd be here just for a few months and take care of things and head on back. And I went to go speak to our founding pastor, and you know, our founding pastor started our church for 25 years and had brain aneurysm, and now he's bedridden and he can't pastor anymore. Our assistant pastor, who founded the church with him, eventually took over, and Our Pastor Myers has done a phenomenal job, and we love him so much. But I was there at his home with my family, and just talking to our pastor and updating him about all that God is doing with our team in Cambodia. And I said, "Pastor, what advice can you give me?" And he can't speak much, but he could understand and say a few things. And he said, "Keep going forward." I looked at Miss Mary, his wife, and said, "Can you confirm what he said?" He said to you what he says to many folks that come here: keep going forward. Continue on. Don't quit. Don't stop. And I come to, and I think of this scripture, and I think of our folks in Cambodia who have taught us so much, whose faith has helped our faith to increase. I want to speak to you tonight about keep going forward. Why? Because God is with us on the journey. The Christian life is like a journey, and the journey in life that I want to be on is one with Jesus. And here we see on that journey, things happen. Moses is dead. It's Joshua's turn to lead. What is he going to decide to do? Let's look at verse number 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua." And church family, might I remind us today that anytime God speaks, and he speaks to us, because he knows us, he created us, he lives within us if we're saved. Anytime God speaks, we might want to listen. You know, we have ears. If God has given us the ability to hear, we might want to listen, and then we might want to respond. We can't just ignore God. God knows, God sees everything. He is everywhere at the same time. And he knows exactly what you and I are going through, and exactly what my family was going through at that time. And he knew the right words to give to our founding pastor, to give to us, to say, "Hey, no matter what's ahead, no matter what's unknown, no matter what may come about going forward, keep going forward." That might not be easy, and Joshua may have felt inadequate. He may have felt not able. He may have felt that he's not the man for the job to lead God's people, to continue forward with them, to do what has not been done yet. But if God's going to call, then he's going to enable. And he's going to enable each and every single one of us to do whatever he would want for him to do, for us to do, wherever that may be, whether it's local, or whether it's abroad, or whether it's near, whether it's far, whether we think we have the capabilities or whether we don't. I don't know about you, but I'm no five-star, five-talented Christian. I see folks, and I know many friends, and those, Lord, man, they're gifted, they're talented. And maybe Joshua was like that, and he looked at Moses, and he said, "Oh, he's gone. What can I do?" We can do exactly what God wants us to do. If he is with us, he will help us. You know, this church family is here, and it's been here for many years, as I spoke to your pastor. And there are great days ahead. The best is just yet to come. Summer is over. And for many, praise the Lord, summer is over. Back to school, back to schedule, back to being where things happen because that's just the way it is. And you don't just want to have all this time left. But we must press on as Christians. God was calling Joshua to lead by following, and he needed to courageously trust that God was and is in control. Our answer to God might can be yes or no. It's so much better to say yes to God and watch him work. Think about your life. Think about where you are now. Think about how you got to this point in your life. It wasn't because of you or me. It was all because of him. I want to challenge you to continue to go forward. You're not alone in this journey. God is with you. And what a blessing it is to also know that your church family, your brothers and sisters in Christ that sit around you, are with you too. It's a blessing to have a church family. I can't imagine myself not being in church, not having a church, not having brothers and sisters in Christ that I gather and I get encouraged by, I get edified by. That's why I'm so happy to be in church. Oh, I might be in a church every single week, in a new church many times a month. My daughter Emily was in 5 churches last week. You say, "Oh, how do you be part of 5 churches last week?" Well, Sunday morning, 1 church. Sunday afternoon, another. Sunday evening, another. Wednesday night for midweek service, and then I went out of town with another missionary friend to look for a vehicle, and his family went to a Thursday night service. So 5 church services that week for her, 4 for me. Sorry, I'm backsliding, okay? Wow, okay? I think now in the year 2024, we need more than less. With all that's out there outside these walls, we don't need more of that. We need more of this right here. It's a crazy world out there. With all that's being taught and all that's being shared, wow, guard yourself, church family. Guard your thoughts, guard your family, guard your children. That's not a part of the message. I don't know where that came from. It must have just been God right there. But you have something special here. And don't lose it. Don't give it up for anything. Don't leave and go somewhere where you ought not to be. Stay put. Oh, but you don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. Many have gone through what you've gone through. And as I've learned from Cambodia, many have gone through so much more than I've gone through. And there's very little to complain about. For worldwide missions, if we don't go, who will? If we don't press on, then who will press on and go and tell? We must do our part to get the gospel to the world. Every single person here tonight, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, might I say that it is our responsibility to get the gospel to go forth to anyone and everyone that God puts in our path that we know. There are many people that we know, that we care for, that we love, and it is our responsibility to get them the gospel. I'll share a few faces of folks, not those people right there, but they look like nice folks right there. I'll share some a little story about these folks here, and hopefully I can get to a few more people here. But number one, let me say that from verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. 4 things I want to talk about that we must do to keep on going forward. Number one, we must arise. And is that something that we can choose? No, it's a command. It's a command from God that we must go and take action. We must be obedient. We must go ye therefore. We must continue on. God's called Joshua. Joshua, arise and go. What if we change Joshua's name right then? We put your name or my name. Because every day we have a choice to make. What will we do? You had a choice to make this morning, especially this evening when you took your afternoon nap and you said, oh my, I do not want to get up and come back to church maybe. It's hot outside. Mr. Pillow or Mrs. Pillow feels very good. And my bed is soft and AC is blasting. I don't want to go and gather. I can watch it online possibly. Maybe Pastor just said, oh, we cut that off a long time ago. You have to show up here. Okay, oh, maybe that is how I went. So. But we must arise, we must go. Luke 10:2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. He would send forth laborers into his harvest. There is a great harvest, is there not? Here in your Leavenworth area and there in the surrounding cities, there is a great harvest. There are multiple people that need Jesus. And by the looks of things here, we have a good size auditorium with a good amount of people in here, but I see empty seats. So if we don't keep going forward and going out and knocking on doors, yes, knocking on doors still work in the year 2024. It works here and it works in Cambodia. Sometimes it's a tin door, sometimes it's no door. But you know what? There are people that live everywhere around us that need the gospel. As I saw on your back screen there before service started, Saturdays, here's something that's free. Maybe it's been up there for a long time. Saturdays, 10 a.m., soul winning. Visitation. It's a blessing to be able to go out and share the gospel. You know, we live in a country that's not necessarily persecuted right now, with freedoms to go out and go anywhere you want without someone coming and saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, in Cambodia, though it's open and free and the government, the prime minister allows us to, all religions to come in and to be able to share freely, it's not necessarily easy to go in every single village in Cambodia, unless you know somebody. And, you know, besides your developments and communities here that might have a gated area, I think that there are many places that we can go. I think there are people around our block who know us and see our family and see our lives that we can go and share Christ with. But we must go and share the gospel wherever you are. God will do his part. We must do our part. There's a world to reach. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. It is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. John 4:35, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I guarantee you, outside these walls of this church, there is someone who is ready and waiting for you and I, whether we live here or we live in some other city, to come and meet them. There's probably someone praying today and saying, Lord, please send someone my way because I'm without hope. I'm without peace. I know not Christ. I know not love. And I know not where I'm going to go when I die. They know not of heaven. They may know of hell. And they know that they don't want to go to hell for all eternity. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Time, I don't know if you know this, is short and it's fleeing. I just turned 37 this past week, and I'm not old yet, praise the Lord. But man, I remember when I was 17, just 20 years ago, getting ready to finish high school. Time has passed by. I'm not just that teenager anymore. I'm not just that 7-year-old boy that was sitting in junior church on the side of the church parking lot and hearing about Jesus Christ, and the preacher said, hey, who wants to know Jesus as your Savior? And I knew my great need, and I rose my hand, and someone took me to the back in the gang-infested areas of Long Beach, California, and led me to Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that day. I hope we've never forgotten that day. Maybe for you it was this year, last year, 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago from today. That's a great day. But there are many who have never experienced that great day in their life. They were born once, and they will die twice. But if you're born twice, you will die once. Arise and go forward. Verse number 5, the Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Let's look at this promise here. God's promises bring comfort. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Wow. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm sure happy that God preserved his word for us. That I can go to God no matter what's happening, no matter what is going on in our world, in our country, no matter what direction our country is going, no matter what happens at the end of this year, God is in control. He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever forsaken you? Has he ever left you destitute and without and down life's wrong path? No. When I gave my life to Jesus as a 13-year-old boy there at a summer camp, I said, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to live for you. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Jesus, you died for me. You loved me. And I love you, and I want to show my love to you by living for you all my days. It's been the greatest, one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life. And you'll never regret that. You'll never go back on that decision and say, Lord, you messed up my life. Look at what you did to me. Look at where you took me. Look at how you brought me to Cambodia. You allowed me to see lives changed by the gospel because of you. To see someone turn from darkness to light. To see someone who said, I don't know any hope, any love, any peace. I don't know where I may die. I was taught that good works take me to heaven. I was taught that hopefully I will end up in nirvana or paradise. But yet I have no peace. And when you can walk them through the gospel, when you can take them through the Bible, through a gospel booklet and say, hey, here's what you need to know. What do you want to do about it now? And some reject sadly. And it breaks your heart. And it ought to break your heart when someone rejects God. Because you never know when their last day is. You never know how much longer they're going to live. You never know if they're going to have the opportunity to hear of Christ one more time or yet have an open heart to accept Christ. Sadly, for some in Cambodia, it's because of their family. It's because all their family and their village and community are all Buddhist, or they're all Muslim, or they're of some other sort of religion. But those who you can lead to Jesus, and you see what God has done in and through them, it makes life so much more enjoyable. And I don't know where you are in your soul winning. I know I need to grow and go out more and push myself more. And maybe it's not always easy to get up and come gather here or get up and go out around your neighborhood and take gospel tracts. And there's gospel tracts in the back. I took one because as I travel in these different little cities around here, all right, well, there's this church here. Hey, and I'm in this area. Let me pass on this tract here from this church. You never know who will come across that right there. You say, oh, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, then learn. I'm pretty sure, just like my home church, this church has a time in the year or has spent time to help its people to know how to share the gospel. It's not that complicated, really. When I was 13 years old and I was getting involved more and I was getting more committed and I went out soul winning with others, I went soul winning with my pastor and I saw what they said, I said, well, that's what I learned, and that's what I was taught, and that's what I believed when I was 7 years old. That's how you do it. That's where you open to. And I memorized scripture, and I listened, and I was a silent partner. And I gained up the courage one day to say, hey, can I try? And there wasn't a 1, 2, 3, pray after me, speaking to someone for 5 seconds, say, hey, pray with me this prayer. No, it was helping them to understand their need of Jesus. If you don't know how to lead a soul to Christ or how to share the gospel with them, I hope you will take time this fall to learn that. Maybe you haven't led a soul to Christ in a while, and sometimes it's a dry season. But I know this, the season of the soul is just around the corner. There's someone going through a hard time. There's something happening within their life. There is a trial, a trouble that they're going through, and they're searching. And if you're where you need to be, if you're the light and testimony you need to be, well, then they'll more than likely hear Christ through you. Because sometimes the only Jesus people will see will be the Jesus that we show before them. We see here a few folks, some of the most poorest people you ever meet, some of the most kindest people you ever know. C to the left, same, his wife in the middle, Tate, their niece to the right. Poor folks in Cambodia, a third world country where if you don't work, you don't eat, where there's not many government handouts and there's not many places you can go and organizations that you can find that'll help just give away things, though there are. And C, he recycles at nighttime and makes a few dollars a day or a night after scouring the city. Same, she makes peanuts and potatoes, even to this day, and she sells that to make a few dollars, and Tate stays home, and she watches the place, and because thieves will come and just steal even the smallest of things that have very little value, and you don't want to have that go missing or grow legs or grow feet. And so they work hard to support the family, and send money where it needs to go. But they're a part of those people that were from a village where they never heard of Jesus Christ. And they knew not Jesus. And same was selling downstairs of our church one day. And she saw and she heard many people that looked like her, sounded like her, talked like her, come up and down the stairs of our church. But she saw people that looked a little bit different, not funny or peculiar, but they looked happy, they looked joyful. They loved each other, they laughed, and they cared about each other. And isn't that what the people ought to see when they see us? When people see our families? When people see us at school or at work, that we ought to act and live like a Christian. A Christian is someone who's like Jesus. And after, you know, week after week of us, of her selling downstairs, of course we were kind to her, of course we bought from her, of course we helped her. You could not but stand and say, hey, what's happening upstairs? What's this singing? What's this teaching I hear? And you all come down, 50, sometimes 100 people come down these steps right here. And up these steps right here, what are you learning up there? Jesus. Learning about the family. Learning about love. Learning about telling others about Jesus. Learning so many things that the Bible has to teach us. Who's Jesus? I don't know this Jesus. Can you share Jesus with me? And one of our church members said, yes, I'll share Jesus with you. But you can't buy Jesus. Let me take the Bible, let me take a gospel booklet, let me share with you Christ. And there in Cambodia, you don't just see someone saved because of their illiterate background to the gospel and to the Bible quickly. It takes time. It takes sometimes months. Because some have never held a Bible, never seen a Bible, have never heard it being read before. And so it's not like here in America where you've been immersed around it, you've heard about it, you see churches everywhere you go. My daughter, doesn't matter what church we drive by, Daddy, look, there's a church there, a big one, a small one, or this one, or that one, with the playground. Let's go to that one right there. Can we go there? No, we're not going there tonight. But she was given the gospel. After about a month's time, she got saved. And then her niece got saved, and then her husband got saved. I don't know what it is. We're hard-headed. The men sometimes get saved last. I have no idea why that is. But praise the Lord, their destiny forever changed. That's what it's about right there. It's not easy. It's not quick, and it's not sometimes, you know, oh, let me share everything in one session. No, let me share one part about creation. Let me share one part that God knows you, that you're created special, that we're sinners. Sometimes those parts take a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks because there's questions and there's Bible verses and they're trying to just get that into their heads and allow God to work in their life. But praise God, they got the gospel and they're happy. But not too long after, her husband got ill because of all the drinking and smoking he did prior to salvation, and health took a toll and he passed away. We had a funeral for C, and we all gathered about an hour-ish outside of town, and we held a funeral service, and her family and her children and relatives came, and same said to us as we got there on the property that if we can do her one favor. No, she didn't ask for money. No, she didn't ask for possessions. No, she didn't ask for a place to stay because one of the breadwinners of the home is gone. She asked us and she asked our national pastors to give the gospel to her family. You know, she's a new Christian. She said, can you share with them what you all shared with me and my family? Because my children don't know Christ. And I want them to hear about the Jesus that my husband believed in. And we did. And no one got saved that day, but a seed was planted. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's just a seed you planted. And let God bring in the increase. Let others water and let God do what only He can do in the heart of man. But same said, I'm going to continue to go forward. I'm going to do my part and arise, and I'm going to be a testimony to them. I'm going to be strong and courageous. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to depend on Him. I trusted Him for salvation. Does it stop there? No, I continue to move forward and continue to trust God and to seek Him, and He'll help me. I'll remember scriptures such as Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't that what Scripture says? And that's what she believed. That's what she read in her Cambodian Bible, like we have one on the back table, in her language. She said, I'm going to be strong and courageous during this difficult time. And I may not know how or what may work out and how I'll take care of everything without him. But God will take care of me. He'll take care of us. I'll trust him. And I'm so glad she did. And I'm so glad that she was a testimony. And why she still smiles here? Why is her niece still smiling? Because her son, To, and her daughter, Kimang, saw that change and saw that difference and heard the gospel message and was open to the gospel. And after time and after time again of her and many others taking time to share the gospel with them, they got saved. It's wonderful. It surely is. Same said, I'm going to be faithful in God's word so I can share that with anyone and everyone that I need to. That's what, a little bit of background to these two ladies right here. You see, they look a little different, but it's because why? They're not Cambodian, they're Cham, an ethnic minority group who don't have a country. Soam on the left got saved about 10, 11 years ago, was in searching for the truth. We took her to a secure location, and she was given the gospel, and she got saved, and her life forever changed. Her family got saved, son, daughter, husband. And when the husband got saved, people knew that there was something different that happened. Her husband, they say he was demon-possessed. They said that he broke chains. He had unimaginable power that came from, the devil. But her sister was watching her testimony after many years and said, I want what my sister has. I want Jesus. Can someone share Christ with me? And so after folks shared the gospel with some of our national leaders and they're at their church campus about an hour in the next province, got the gospel to her. She accepted Christ. She was happy. And they're just a few of the stories that I could share that many of your missionaries can share. That's why they're grateful that you send them. That's why you ought to be happy that you get to send them. And they get to go. She went home like any other, like any Christian ought to be, and she was happy. She went and told her husband that, I'm a Christian. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I want you to know Jesus too. Maybe saying that to someone in your spouse in America may be soft-hearted, listen, but he wasn't. He was angry. He was furious. He looked at Paul and he said, are you crazy? What have you done? We're a Muslim family. We believe in Allah. Our community is Cham. What in the world are you doing, Paul? You have a choice to make, Paul. Reject Christ and choose us and choose Allah or lose everything. What would you do? You've lived your whole life. You've built a family. You've built a future. You have kids and grandkids. You have everything that you've worked for there and you're in your 50s already. You're faced with the decision to give up all and give up Jesus. And go back to the gods of your fathers, the past generations. And she said to her husband, I love Jesus. And Jesus has done in my life what nothing else and no one else can ever do. And I love you and he loves you and he loves our family and he loves everyone. And I can't turn my back on Jesus. He said, okay, Paul, that's your choice. But I divorce you. And I bring you before the Muslim council. We're no longer husband and wife. And I'll remarry and you lose everything. You get kicked out of our home. You stay in a back shack. And you let Jesus people take care of you. And let that God, Jesus, take care of you. Okay. I'm sure with tears, I wasn't there. glad I wasn't. That would have broken my heart, as it just breaks my heart just to have heard the testimony that she shared in church. And villagers would not talk to her, and they'd throw rocks at in the yard and whatnot. But you know, Paul said, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be like Joshua and continue to go forward. I'm going to press on. I'm not quit. I'm going to trust God and be great. I'm going to be committed to Him. I'm going to learn God's word. I'm going to be faithful in Him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm going to learn God's word so I can share that with anyone and everyone that I know, with my children that are watching me, to my friends that I've known for many years. Lord willing, my family will come to know Jesus someday. Well, people are watching, and her family was watching, and her son on the right, Esau, was watching. The man on the left is Tom. He's one of our national men, one of our national leaders. That's Saul's son on the left. You say, how did he get his name Tom? You can't pronounce Saint Zane, and so you name him Tom. You change his name because it's easier to call him Tom than his original name. That's how he gets Tom right there. But Esau saw all that mom went through and said, wow, mom must have something that's real, that's true, that's genuine, and I want that. And Tom and our national pastor there in their village, and other men there got around Esau, and Esau accepted Jesus as his Savior. Because mom said, I'm going to be faithful in God's word and be committed. Let God do what He needs to do, because I can't do it. And I'm going to remember that God is with me. I'm going to have faith. Have not I commanded thee, verse number 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Yes, God was with Paul when she went through that trial and she lost everything. And Paul said, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to let God stretch my faith. And oh, that would have stretched my faith for sure. Hopefully I would have continued on and not quit. Hopefully we don't quit no matter what comes our way in life, whether big or small, whether hard or whether unimaginable. So many more around the world, yea, the martyrs who die for their faith have gone through so much more, that we who don't go through that, at least for now in this country, can live our days serving Jesus. He loves us, and He died for us, and that we live for Him and share Him. What did Joshua do? Did he keep focus? Verse number 10, the Bible says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Joshua made that choice to go forward. And he knew God's promises, and he continued on. The end of Joshua says in chapter 24, in verse 15, we know it, we've heard it. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God told Joshua to arise and to go. Did he listen? Yes. What will our response be when God calls us to do something for Him? You say, oh, I'm young, oh, I'm older. God's still calling today for all of us to do something special for Him. He has something great ahead for each and every one of our lives. Oh, that's just the job of my pastor. That's just the job of the staff. That's just the job of full-time Christian workers. We are all full-time Christian workers. Whether paid or unpaid, whether we've gone to school for it or not, all of us must be and need to be full-time Christian. We can't just turn on and off the switch or the ignition. We have to, we need to be the Christian. We need to be all the time. What will you do? What is God placed in your life? Where are you today? What are you going through? What's ahead that you don't know the answer to? Do you need faith? Remember, God is with us. We're not alone. He'll be our guide. He'll enable, he'll strengthen. He won't lead us down the wrong path. We'll be thankful, we'll be blessed, because we chose to do what God would want us to do. There'll be many more that'll be thankful also.